While Hiranyakashipu looked all around to find the source of the sound, the wonderful form of the Lord, which could not be ascertained to be either man or lion, emerged from the pillow. In amazement, Hiranyakashipu wondered, "What is this creature that is half man and half lion?" So, this is the nature of material consciousness, is that one only considers things according to one's sense perception. So the different ways of understanding in this world, different ways of acquiring knowledge according to the Shastras, we either perceive by our senses directly, or we hear by, what's the word, anuman. This means inference. We infer this or we infer the other. Another one is by what's been passed down through generations. What do they call this one? Parampara. Eh? Parampara. No, not that one. That's a different one. No, it's tradition, traditional knowledge. But finally, the real knowledge is by shabda, is sound vibration. And ultimately, shabda brahma, transcendental sound vibration. Anything which is within the material concept is always subject to four defects. So a materialist with these defects will always see things the wrong way around. He cannot understand how something like a man and a lion can be combined together. But a devotee, because he's hearing from a transcendental source, then he gets knowledge beyond his material perception. So this is something which, even though Hiranyakashipu was a powerful demon, he stood on one leg with his hands in the air for so long that the ants came and ate all his flesh away. There was only bones left. He was very determined. I remember I was hearing one lecture about determination, false determination. What was the result of Hiranyakashipu's determination? It was his ruin. He suffered day in, day out. A person in material consciousness suffers. He looks like he's enjoying, is that right? He looks like he's enjoying, but inside there's this envy eating his heart away. Passion, always wanting something or hankering for something. Never peaceful. So this is the result of these material austerities. So I was listening to this devotee and he was giving a talk about how in Prabhupada's time, Prabhupada got to as far as the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in that fourth canto, it just came out. The devotees were getting one canto at a time, they were all eagerly waiting. As soon as it came out, they all were reading it. And who was the fourth canto? Who was the Tapasvi in the fourth canto? What was that? Dhruva Maharaj. He was so determined that he performed unbelievable austerities nearly on a par with Hiranyakashipu. But because his heart was different, his heart changed due to those, due to that tapasya. But, so Dhruva Maharaj was a devotee at heart. Although he had some passion there to get something material, still by the process of purification that was cleared away and he could then take to devotional service. But when the devotees got this book, they started reading about the tapasya that Hiranyakashipu, Dhruva Maharaj performed. What was the first day? The first month, he was just eating once a day. The second month, I think he was eating just the fruits from the trees, berries, wild berries. Third month, dry leaves. Maybe I've got this a little wrong, but we get the idea that it was getting more and more austere. He was becoming more and more absorbed, so therefore he was giving up more and more sense gratification. And then the final month, he just breathed once every 12 days, was it? So this is pretty focused. And as a result, the whole universe became choked. Even Vayu, the superintendent demigod in charge of the air, even he was choking. And so they approached Lord Brahma And, you know, they wanted, you know, be merciful to unto us. What's happening? We can't breathe. So Lord Brahma said, we'll put this right in a very short while. We'll go and see Dhruva Maharaj, who's performing severe austerities in, was it Madhuvan? Was it Madhuvan? And so when the devotees read this, they got their sleeves rolled, right. Austerity is the key. Have you noticed that? When something new comes out, everybody becomes affected by it. I remember in the days in the 80s, the big thing was Ekadashi. This book came out called Ekadashi Vrata. And so all the devotees, they were staying up all night, not eating, not drinking, going out on Sankirtan the next day. And it lasted about a month, and then they were completely finished. So these devotees got into it in the wrong way. They started to make big vows in the line of Dhruva Maharaj. And, you know, some were eating once a day, some were not taking sweets, so many things. One devotee decided, I'll not sleep for 3 months. And he did it. He used to be chanting his japa, he was so determined. And then if he felt tired, he used to just lay on the temple floor for a while until... and then get up again. So the power of determination we don't even consider. So what's that verse? Akama sarva karma va moksha karma udaradi tivrena bhakti yogina yajita purushamparam. This is saying that tivrena is the important word. Whether we've got material desires like Hiranyakashipu, whether we don't have any material desires, we're completely purified. Or whether we desire material enjoyment. We desire material enjoyment, no desires, or we desire liberation. He says, whatever our desires, then we should practice devotional service with, what is it, Tivrena. What does Tivrena mean? Great force. And then it becomes fruitful. So Hiranyakashipu was practicing with great force in the wrong direction. Dhruva Maharaj was practicing with great force, but he had the intelligence to listen to a pure devotee, and therefore he became purified. So Dhruva Maharaj, but also Hiranyakashipu had the association of who? His son Prahlad Maharaj. He had that same opportunity. But due to a vacant heart, he didn't take advantage of it. So this is the situation. By not hearing properly, I think Bhakti Vigan Maharaj was giving a discussion on hearing properly, and he gave the example of the proper hearing can be observed by the speaker. He says there was one devotee, one spiritual master, Gokarna was it? And he was speaking to his disciples, and he was preaching in such a way, he wanted them to perform some service in which they wrote a book. And in one of his disciples was a bull. I don't know how that happened, but one of his disciples was a bull, and they called him Dandukari. Does anybody remember this? And Dandukari was listening, and they were all listening very intently, and he was giving the lecture. And then at the end of the lecture, he says, the speechman said, I don't think anybody's going to be able to perform this task. And they're all looking amazed, and they asked Guru Maharaj, why not? We're all trying to hear with attention. He says, there may be one person who can hear, only one person will be able to perform this task. He said, that's the bull. And so they were amazed. How can a bull perform this task? How do you know, Gurudev? He said, when he was listening, I saw different people. Some were taking notes very nicely. Some were spaced out. Some were actually trying to keep awake. Some devotees were pretty much on the ball. He says, but this Dandukari, he said he was chewing cud like a bull does. And when I started to speak, he stopped chewing. He said, so I could see that he was internalizing what I was saying. And he was thinking, how can I put this into practice? So these are the stages of hearing. Hiranyakashipu, it never got past the hearing stage. As soon as it went in, the envy came out. But Dhruva Maharaj, he was second class hearing. He heard, but he still had to act and get experience. But his Dandu Kari, he heard and it affected his heart. So by hearing, what's that verse? Srutekshita. Sruta means hearing. By hearing through the ears. I forget that verse now. Hase Srutekshita, Patona Navata Vartman. The devotees of the Lord can hear, can see the Lord through the bona fide process of hearing. The Lord is so merciful that when the devotee hears, his heart becomes cleansed. And then Krishna appears in front of that devotee in due course of time in the form that the devotee has always meditated upon him. So this is why Prahlad Maharaj could see the Supreme Lord. And this is why Hiranyakashipu couldn't. This is one thing. Materialistic conception is that even if the Supreme Lord tries to appear before the devotee, he doesn't see that. Even in the devotee's life, that can be the case as well. The Supreme Lord saying, I'm here. Like in Hiranyakashipu, we were saying the other day how when Prahlad Maharaj was asked, where is your Lord now? Is he in this pillar? And Prahlad Maharaj said, yes, he's in the pillar. And then there was a story how Narsingadev peeked out from the pillar and waved to Prahlad Maharaj. So this is... But to see like that, we have to be serious. There's one story about this particular atheist. If we have an atheistic mentality, he was on the roof, sloping roof, and he was mending the roof. And it was a rainy day, so at some point he started to lose his footing. And he was sliding down the roof. And it was like 60 foot over the edge. And he thought, I'm finished. So he started yelling at the top of his voice, oh Lord, please help me. He said, there's no atheists in the trenches. There's no atheists when we're in real difficulty. And so just as he was going over the roof, his belt caught in a nail which was hammered into the side of the roof. And he was hanging there, like that. And he said, wow, it's a good job I put that nail there. So how many times do we do that? We pray to Krishna for something, and then when we get the result, we think we've done it. So, one other thing I wanted to mention here is in this verse. And where are we? Yeah, Natasya Karyam Charanam Chavidyate. Natasya Samas Chabjikas Chadrishyate. Parashya Shaktir. Vividaya Vividaiva Sruyate Svabhiki Jnana Balakriyacha. So this means that nobody is better than the Lord. Nobody is superior to the Lord. Samas Chabjikascha Drishtite. Nobody is equal to Krishna. Parashya Shakti Vividaiva Sruyate. The Lord's powers are omnipotent. They are performed by Him simply willing, automatically. His energies are multifarious. Svabhiki Jnana Balakriyacha, and they're automatically working. So how can a devotee realize this? There's a comment in the, it refers to the Chaitanya Chaitamrita. It says when Lord Chaitanya was present, also he had that omnipotence. At Jagannath Puri, when he was dancing in the Kirtan, if you remember, there were many Kirtan parties. But the Lord was seen in every Kirtan party, and the Kirtaniers in that Kirtan party thought, he's only in my Kirtan party. But actually, he was in all of them. So this is the omnipotence of the Lord. And also, a devotee can get the same power. He said, we come to devotional service, we can see Krishna. How do we see Krishna? What's it say in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita? Bhakti mam abhijnati yavanyas chasmitatvata Namatatvatatatvavishate-tad-anantram. Only by devotional service can I be understood as I am. And there's a similar verse which explains that only by devotional service can Krishna be seen as he is. So what is that devotional service? I was thinking that what's the best way to see Krishna? What's the best way to see Krishna? What's the best way to please Krishna? We said in this verse, Shrutekshita, we see Krishna by what? By hearing. So, by hearing. Oh, that's right, by hearing. By hearing, we come under the influence of the internal potency of the Lord. Does anybody know a verse from the Bhagavad Gita which mentions taking shelter of the Lord's internal potency? That's the seed verses. There's one more to the point in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Have we got any scholars here? It says, Mahatmanas tumampartha daivim prakriti ashrita bhajanti anya manasol gatva bhutatim avyayam. It says, those devotees are under the shelter of the divine potency. They're fully protected by Krishna and they're in the they're under this potency. So then they can have the same potency as Krishna also. How do they achieve that? What's the next verse say? Satatam kirtiyantomam yatanchascha dridavrata namasyantastaman bhakcha nitya yukta upasite. Always chanting my glories, endeavouring with great determination and bowing down before me. These great souls worshipping with devotion. So I was thinking one of these things is what was Prabhupada's mood in hearing? This is the point I was trying to come to. We've got Prabhupada left all his books for us to hear in the Association of Devotees and to read. But what should we get from these books? When a person writes something, what do you get out of that book? That person's mood. So now in ISKCON, ISKCON's becoming very sophisticated now, is that right? At one time you used to go out on Sangatan, and if you had time to read, probably a little bit of reading during the day, that was your quota. Class in the morning, and no, maybe a class in the evening, but not much education in any other respect. But now what do we have? We have VIHE, MIHE, so many seminars. It's like it's class, 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 boiling the milk. But what happens? Do we get Prabhupada's mood out of these books? Because we're boiling the milk, aren't we? We're boiling the milk. Prabhupada said, now's the time to boil the milk. But he didn't mean to say we'd stop adding the milk also. Boil the milk. Boil the milk. Boil the milk. What else? Burn the milk. This is what can happen. We just concentrate too much on the devotees that we have in the temple. And what's happening is that what's the other type of boiling the milk we should do? We should be always glorifying me. What's that verse I've just quoted? Satatam kirtiyanto mam. Kirtiyanto. Yatantascha driravrata. Namasyantas mam bhakcha. Nitya yukta upasite. So, kirtiyanto means giving the holy name to others. This is how we get Krishna's mercy. This is Prabhupada's mood. This is the point. When we read these books, what's Prabhupada's mood? He's preaching to us, and every so often we get a taste of what Prabhupada's trying to do. He's trying to spread Krishna consciousness. He mentioned boiling the milk, and that's something which was missing in the past. Now we've added that, but then we're missing out on what we're on the other side. So what happens in that situation? We become complacent. We become when we're preaching, we're dependent on Krishna. Is that right? When we're preaching, we're completely dependent on Krishna. There's no doubt about it. We're put into that situation. And usually, in the past, we've been forced financially to preach. Now we're well situated. We've got financial support. And everybody tends to, this is the mode of passion, the first one. We're forced to do it through necessity. Now we've come to the mode of, we have to preach in the mode of goodness. That means although we're supported, this, what's Krishna doing? He's giving us the opportunity to completely engage in preaching. Don't worry, I'm taking care. This is what he says in the Bhagavad Gita. One who preaches, I'll provide everything. So this is missing. And what happens when we don't preach? We get into the mode of, instead of being in the mode of goodness, we get into the mode of ignorance. And then all kinds of different ways to support the temple become manifested. We become more and more lazy. And then and then we add a little bit of devotional service to it to make it, you know, passable. Oh, we're doing this, but actually the real thrust is that we're not doing what Prabhupada told us to do. And what did Prabhupada want? He wanted to distribute his books, go out and preach to others, especially to Brahmananda Swami in Kenya. He moved, he went to see him in Kenya, and Brahmananda Swami decided to preach to the local Indians because they're warmer, aren't they? It's their culture. It doesn't take much to get one of the an Indian body devotee to come to the temple. And so it got members and he was doing nicely, and Prabhupada wasn't satisfied with that. He says, you're not preaching to the locals. He says, we're here to preach to the locals. So that also applies here. We're here to preach to the locals. But we're not doing it. But we're the only ones who can do it. So by this preaching, then we can see Krishna. Then we can see, we read Prabhupada's books with that line. We can see what Prabhupada wants us to do. And then when we do what Srila Prabhupada wants us to do, just like Dhruva Maharaj did, he did what his spiritual master wanted him to do. And then he attained Krishna. Then he could see Krishna. He got the direct darshan of Vishnu. So this is a very important point, that we, in a particular sampradaya, we follow the mood of the acharya and not become deviated from that. It may be difficult to follow, but we should do it, because when we do it, then it becomes easy. Anyway, this is just something about, we've already gone through this particular, this section is more or less saying the same thing, and my depth of understanding has reached its limit. But the main thing is that the Supreme Lord is omnipotent. He can appear in any situation. So how much more will he appear in a situation which is fertile? And that fertile situation is when we follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And Prabhupada's mood is that primarily, if we make preaching our foremost thing in life, then everything else will be taken care of. And in this way, Prabhupada said that about the book distribution. He said, we're distributing books, it's very difficult. He says, but one day, we'll see Lord Chaitanya on Sankirtan. So everybody can do it. I know that years ago, it was just the Western devotees who were preaching and doing books. We had a Indian preaching section. They were in the minority, and we had a Western preaching section, and the temple was vibrant. You came to the man and said, go to the man if you want to get fired up. I was at Chaitanya College, and we were on the Bhakta course. That was a huge college, and a lot of devotees there, and I couldn't wait to get to the manor. And I arrived in the middle of a roaring kirtan. It was ecstatic, and there was like 30 to 50 brahmacharis every morning going out on Sangitan doing books. This was the mood. And so we've come a long way from there. But there's no reason why we can't get it back, because now, due to this bodily identification, we can't preach like they can. But what's happening? The ones who are doing books, what kind of body have they got? They've got an Indian body, and they're doing more books. Marathon, they were doing nearly 100 Bhagavad Gitas a day, one of them. And now that same devotee is at Soho Street, and he's made 4 prime Western devotees, very intelligent, very sharp. So, you know, it's just a matter of our focus. We're becoming disfocused from what we should be doing. We're becoming lethargic resting on our laurels, keeping it safe, but that won't preach. So just a few words there. So this is what Irani Kashipu did. Soft bed and gold. He wanted to enjoy life, enjoy the material energy, but he didn't see Krishna. So we have to be like Dhruva Maharaj, follow Prabhupada's example, and then very easily we get a situation which is enlivening for the devotees and enlivening for the visitors who come. So I'll stop there if anybody has any comments or any questions.